Hey everyone, welcome to Stuttering 101. I am Peter Reitzis, here with co-host Eric Jackson.
Good evening, sir.
Hey, and our very special return guest, Dr. Philip Schneider. Hey, Dr. Schneider.
Good to be here. Thanks for the invitation. Feels like a nice place to be.
Great. The theme music for this show is a little different this week. It's at the request of Dr. Schneider, and it was the birds. Dr. Schneider is an associate professor emeritus at Queen's College and has been in private practice for more than 30 years. Phil's film, Transcending Stuttering, The Inside Story, is simply our favorite film on stuttering. Dr. Schneider has received numerous awards, including the Speech Pathologist of the Year by the National Stuttering Association, and in 2006, he was given the highest honors of the New York State Speech Language Hearing Association. Phil has presented more than 200 seminars nationally and internationally, and is currently very active in conducting programs for parents of children who stutter.
We're going to be talking about how people change and grow with their stuttering on this show today. So, Dr. Schneider, where do you think we should start this conversation, and where do you think it needs to go?
Well, I think we can start with a line from the song that for every season there's purpose, and that in talking about maturation or growth as it relates to people who stutter, we're really talking about maturation and growth for people and how that impacts on any issue that we have in our life. So I'd like to say that the theme of life, the main theme of life, is change, and that nothing ever stays the same. The phrase that I've used, I think, in a past show that I heard from a wonderful teacher is that we're really not human beings, but we're human becomings. We're constantly changing. And one of the ways that we change is by overcoming challenges. And in fact, overcoming challenges is a great thrill in our life. It's one of the things that we consider fun. And that's why we have games and sports and competitions, because we like to challenge ourselves. And if you were playing a game or a sport against someone who is tiny and nowhere is up to your skill, it wouldn't be fun. Maturation is really the work of our life. And it happens in phases and stops and starts. It's not linear. Sometimes we're inspired to work on something in our life, and then we work really hard, and then the inspiration cools off and disappears, and we lose it for a while. I want to talk about the issue of the unfolding of human lives in a general way, and then bring in examples of how that unfolding might relate to the issue of coping with the challenge of stuttering from the point of view of an individual who's challenged with it, and also in hopes of providing a broader perspective for parents and professionals, be they speech therapists or teachers, so that we can maintain a broader view. Because our goal in supporting, for example, children, is really not to make wonderful children. Our goal in supporting children is to help them grow into wonderful adults with meaningful, productive, fulfilling lives. And so we really need to keep this broader perspective in our consciousness that everything that goes in becomes part of this greater whole, and that greater whole unfolds over time. And every stage has its own special time in life. And every stage of life, so whether we're talking about being an infant becoming a toddler becoming a preschooler becoming a school-age child becoming an adolescent, adolescent becoming a young adult at the cusp of adulthood, a young adult going into the early stages of mature adulthood in, say, their 30s, going into older adulthood, and even going into old age, that we continue to change, and there are things that become possible for us at each of these stages that we couldn't do before, and there are things that we could do before that we can't do later. So everything has a special time, and that includes the development of our speech communication skills, the development and evolution of stuttering, and the development and evolution of how we come to grips, make peace, resolve, overcome, transcend the challenge of stuttering. And one of the points I want to make about this process of unfolding, and I just had a startling experience in my office today where I was looking at some old video material to share with someone who was here to work on their stuttering issue, and it was like both of us took a look at ourselves in this movie and we go like, oh my gosh, you know, we were startled to see how much we've changed and not always happy about all those things. And I will share here on the air that it was kind of surprising to note that the camera made me look bald. Something that was very startling. But the point I want to make here is about change is that it's filled with surprise, that it defies prediction, that several years ago, if someone had said the two of you would be hosting a popular sort of podcast, a radio show type thing, and enjoying that, that might have sounded like unbelievable to you. And so I'll just give a small model of change and development that might form a nice base for thinking about this. And we'll leave human beings behind for a moment and go into the world of nature. Picture a beautiful caterpillar, nice and furry, walking its way along the ground, coordinating all those feet. And one day, for reasons that are unknown to anyone, it decides to spin itself into a cocoon. And while it's inside that nice, cozy cocoon, it begins to melt down into a formless ball of goo, losing its legs, losing its ability to do what it knew how to do, can no longer ambulate. And if you were to see this, just that part of the film, of the story of maturing of that being, it would appear that it was dying, that it was losing its ability to do anything that it do. It lost its ability to even look like what it was. But while it's in the cocoon, something amazing happens. It begins to grow wings. And it begins to bang those wings against the wall of cocoon as it gets stronger and stronger. And eventually, if it gets strong enough, it breaks the cocoon and it flies off. It now has a way of moving that it never had before, and it's lost its way of moving that it had before. It looks different. Is it the same being or the same or a different being? When we look at a human baby, and if you've looked at the pictures of yourselves as infants, and you say, oh my gosh, how could that be me? Or is that me? Is this the same being? So the process of maturation changes us biologically, physiologically, mentally, cognitively, linguistically, in every possible way we change. We have cells now that we didn't have when we were younger, and we've lost cells that we had when we were younger. And a couple of beautiful examples on the world of stuttering that are out there in the public domain, I guess one very known entity would be a man named James Earl Jones. People would find it hard to believe, seeing him as a person who's gotten national awards for his contribution in the arts as an actor, that he grew up as a child and as an adolescent trying to avoid speaking in order to hide his shame and struggle with stuttering, it took him into his adolescence and that stage of maturation and a point of actually anger when suddenly he got the inspiration through anger, actually, and through upset to begin to fight a long, long journey of learning to tame the way he produced his voice and the timing of his speech. So that, and what unfolded, just like going from a caterpillar to a butterfly, was something that in many ways seemed unrecognizable from where it came. But it couldn't have happened when he was 10 years old, or 4 years old, or maybe 12 years old. It took him to really get onto that journey well into his later adolescence and into his early adulthood. And right now we have in the public eye a vice president who is known for his joy of speaking. And it would be hard to recognize and to accept that this same being had an experience as a child and an adolescent and into the beginning of adulthood of struggling severely with stuttering and really wanting and yearning to be able to communicate in a way that was free and open and relaxed and joyous. In my own practice, and I hope these ideas are whetting your appetite for just the range of change and how one chapter doesn't necessarily predict the next chapter, which is the point I really want to keep emphasizing during our chat. There's a gentleman who came to me when he was in his early 40s, and this is over 20 years ago, and for about 15 years, never, ever did one thing that I had suggested or thought was a great, clever, wonderful idea coming from a therapist that he might try to help strengthen his ability to communicate with greater ease. Never did any of it. Approximately 3 years ago, started calling me every single day to practice these skills that he'd heard about 20 and 15 years earlier, and decided it was time to pursue a dream now that he was in his early 60s, and now he was ready for daily work, which he wasn't ready for in his 40s, and he wasn't ready for in his 50s. And all he wanted to do at those points was to express his anger and his frustration. And by the time he hit 60, he was ready for work. And what's unfolded in the last 2 years, he can't even believe that now he enjoys giving public speeches, and these were things he has only dreamt of. And I've also seen people as far as change and stage of life work hard on mastering the ability to speak smoothly and with great ease, and they didn't necessarily feel they were disguising their stuttering or hiding it, but then reached points later on in their life where they realized what they really needed to do was go back to being passionate, and that now they could do this and fully embrace themselves, even with the stuttering interruptions, and that that was a lot more pleasing to them and satisfying than working on control and self-regulation and keeping the energy down. So sometimes we overcome challenges in one way at one maturational stage, and at another stage in maturation, a whole different approach feels like it's much more appropriate. From a point of view of maturation and quote-unquote recovering from stuttering, I want to make a few strong points. That we have every reason to be optimistic about the life journey of individuals who are challenged with stuttering. And the reason is based in the fact that 80% of children who are challenged with this really move beyond it. But for more than that, that adolescents who are still struggling with this find ways of making peace both with the physical struggle and with themselves as they mature. And 30-year-olds show up at 50 feeling better adjusted to themselves and their lives. And often part of those changes that come about with maturation even change the way one construes the challenge itself. And often it becomes, a curse can go to a blessing. But that cannot necessarily happen at a particular maturational stage. So to talk to an adolescent that one day, you know, you might think this is something that really helped you in your life in a very strange, paradoxical way, that may not go over well. One may first have to grow to get to that point. I wanted to reference a few things that people who are listening and interested in this topic might be able to go back to as references. And these are things that have influenced my thinking and that are included in these comments. And the book that had this, a very strong contribution in my thinking related to stuttering and maturation is a book called Tongue Wars by Bill Perkins. It's an excellent read. And as far as general issues of maturation that one could easily transpose in their mind to think about stuttering and maturation is a book called Passages that was very popular in the 70s. It was a best, it was a top reader by a woman named Gail Sheehy. And then there's a book called Living Inspired by a man, Akiva Tatz. And many of these comments and thoughts really piggyback on what I have learned from those readings. Coming from the book Passages, the point about maturation that this book makes, which is very important related to growing up with stuttering, is that each of life's chapters, which is a passage, the point of change from one chapter to the next is marked by a crisis. And that crisis leads to a need to give up, to surrender the illusion that one has of sticking with the security of what's familiar from the past. So however we were coping at one stage in development, suddenly something may happen and change in our life, and we realize this is no longer going to cut it, and oh my gosh, I have to take a plunge into the unknown and give up all of the ways that I've been coping or dealing and go into a new place. And this is very, very scary. But there's an inner urge, an inner drive to grow and to become this next thing, just like the caterpillar that crawls into that cocoon, never really understanding why it needs to grow and go to that next level. But we all need to grow. That is the theme of life. And at that point of crisis, it's definitely a point of change. And the change may look like progress, and the change may look like regression. But nonetheless, things will never be the same again. And not only do behaviors change, but how we feel about ourselves and how we reflect on our life changes as well. And to go into the human model, if you've watched and been in the room with a baby that's approaching a year of age and is crawling very efficiently, an interesting thing starts to happen on a certain day. It starts to try to stand, and it grabs onto something and pulls itself up. And then it falls down, and then it pulls itself up, and then it falls down and pulls itself up over and over. It never gets upset when it falls. And I'm always wondering, why did it choose that day, not the day before, not the day after? And failure has no problem for the child, for the baby. And then after it masters pulling itself up, it starts to let go and try and stand by itself. And it falls, and it tries again, and it falls, and it tries again. And suddenly, as soon as it can stand by itself and it's wobbling, it tries to take a step, which means it has to give up the security of its previous stage to go into a new stage of life, which is insecure and unstable. It gives up crawling, which is a stable way of ambulating, for being able to stand and then trying to ambulate in a way that's unstable, and it shakes and it falls. But once a child begins to walk upright, it will no longer want to spend much time crawling on all fours. And that is built into the map of trying to go forward to this next stage. There's another place we're supposed to get to. And when that's not going on in our lives and we're really stuck, we feel depressed. There's something about us that feels trapped and stuck in a shell that's supposed to have room for movement.
You're listening to Stuttering 101 with our special return guest, Dr. Philip Schneider. Phil, we've been talking about how people mature and change. We're wondering, how does this maturation relate to normal speech development and to the development of stuttering?
I like the question very much, and I think it's an amazing thing to take a moment to reflect on. That, in fact, speech and language, the way human beings communicate, is a maturational phenomenon, and it never stops changing from the moment you're born. And when we're born, our communication starts out through sound, and it's the sound of our voice, and usually it's cry, the sound of distress, which links us in relationship to our caretaker. And then later it becomes the sound of our voice, which reflects pleasure in various different forms of pain, need, desire, and pleasure, but it is sound that forms a link. And it unfolds along with the change in our body, so that for those, until we become upright, most people do not develop connected speech. And so being upright, in fact, provides the respiratory system with the ability to regulate itself for speech. And being upright changes the angle of the head with the rest of the airway, so that we have a right-angled vocal tract, which allows us to produce the different vowel sounds of speech. And it allows the control of the tongue unfolds in that time as well. All of this happens to be synchronized with the cognitive development, and around the age the child is able to ambulate upright, it's the same age they develop the cognitive constructs of object constancy, which allows for the abstract constructs of language, that we have groups of sounds that are completely abstract collections of sounds, which really represent our thoughts and feelings. So the evolution of speech language is a maturational phenomenon linked to our mental status, to our physical bodies, and to our emotional desire to connect our inner truth with other people to form relationships. All of this comes together. It's sort of a gift. Nobody has to go to school to learn how to do this unless there are severe problems. And along with that gift, the ability starts to grow to the next stage from single words to two-word phrases to then putting together longer phrases we call sentences and into narratives. And it's just as language begins to explode, its growth rate explode, that's when suddenly the ability to process all of this smoothly as though it was easy can suddenly become disrupted for a maybe 5 to 10% of all little children. That at the point that their language explodes, that many children start to do what we call stuttering, to have these intermittent motor interruptions in their speech. So the appearance of stuttering is a developmental phenomenon. It never occurs in people who haven't reached that point in their language development, in single words, in two-word phrases. It waits until language really takes off. So in that sense, stuttering itself is a developmental phenomenon.
You're listening to Stuttering 101 with Dr. Philip Schneider, who can be contacted at schneiderspeech.com, SchneiderSpeech.com.
The young child beginning to stutter fuels that stuttering with their natural enthusiasm for life and their enthusiasm to express themselves. So the more passionate they are to share, and the more they have to share, the more energy they put into it, the more the stuttering will increase. And in a child that age, 1 year, a 2-year-old, 3-year-old, 4-year-old, typically there is little or no ability to feel shame, to be concerned about what others think of them, which is why little children can run around without being dressed, or may use a diaper, or that they're not worried about that. They don't have that kind of social concern. And so there are many beautiful things at that stage as it relates to intervention, for example, that there are ways that they're very sensitive to the love from their parents. And there is a whole methodology now out there where parents can be trained how to give feedback to preschoolers that helps these children modulate their speech output in such ways as enhancing their fluency without creating a difficult challenge for them. So that developmental stage allows for a certain kind of input which can have a very positive effect on their speech, what I call stability or fluency, and that is restricted to that stage because the same kind of input for the average 7-year-old may be aversive, telling them, you know, that their speech is smooth. They may not like that, or telling them that something's a little bumpy. But within that other stage of preschool or unfolding, because there isn't an issue of shame, if we put these messages out to them in very positive ways, they're able to use it to modulate their behavior. And then we get to, as the children get a little older and they get into school-age children, but not yet adolescents, they may not like stuttering and they may find it annoying, and they certainly wouldn't like it if someone tries to make them feel bad or bully or ostracize them. But generally, it's often not a big issue for them, and certainly they wouldn't be ready. Most 8-year-old children are not ready to apply their full energy to practicing something with the promise or the thought on their mind that it will return something a few years down the road. That developmental stage doesn't relate well to the idea of hard work now, long rewards down the road, a year or two down the road. In adolescence, they really care about the fact that they don't fit in, you know, amongst their peers, because it's a time of life when we're looking around and seeing how do we as men look like, or boy, young teenagers, compared to the other men. The girls are looking at the other girls. But this is a time of life where being accepted and being just like the peer group is more important than what your parents think of you. And so right now, it's a great time to want to hide this trait that makes you feel less than others or more awkward. I was talking about the issue of how different maturational stages affect how, number one, the stuttering itself, the onset, and how it may unfold, and also affects what we're ready to do at different stages in our lives in the way of coping or dealing with this issue. And I was making the point that as we are in our adolescence, it's very important in that stage of development, that stage of maturation, that we want very much to feel competitive with our peer group, our age group, and approved of by them. And we want to feel very much like them. And that drive is stronger than wanting the approval of our parents. And at that point in time, we may very much want to not be revealed as feeling less than someone else. And it's the same point in time that we need our speech communication skills to help us feel socially part of the peer group. So this is a very tough time for people growing up with stuttering. And it's a time where people would really want to get rid of it and have enough ability to harness their work, except very often that work is really designed to or driven by the desire to cover up this challenge rather than to come to grips with themselves as having this challenge. And so that's a stage. Another thing that can begin to happen as these stages of maturation move into adolescence, where there's more awareness and ability to choose one's behavior and to make plans for how to cope with things, is that one can acquire more losses related to the stuttering trait, a feeling of shame, deprivational coping adaptations, such as not saying what you really want to say or not showing up where you really want to show up, and one's self-esteem can really start to suffer. One can lose one's integrity by not saying things that you really want to say. One can look less intelligent by avoiding sharing the information that they know or just not speaking at all. One can give up their freedom of speech. One could give up their life goals and not want to go on academically and drop out of school. So in this stage of adolescence, things can get much more complicated very quickly. And it's a very delicate stage for parents to be supportive and for professionals to be sensitive to when they come into being involved with a teenager who's dealing with this. And then but the story is not over. So an adolescent phase, often a very dark phase, not always extremely productive in treatment sometimes, but where do we go from there? We go sort of the next stage of early adulthood, and in that stage of early 20s, and I'd say on for that decade, life deals a lot with kind of starting to define ourselves, to prepare our lives for the rest of our lives, developing our skills, our career or job-related skills. Many people begin finding or, you know, looking for their soulmates, and some people even go moving early into family structure. At that point, many people are ready to deal with plans that go further out into the future and to saying, who am I and who am I not? And sometimes there are new crises that come up that mark these next changes, like the way I coped in school, I can't cope now because I need a job and the job requires the phone, so avoiding the phone won't work. Or I'm ready to start the part of my life where I'm dating. I want to get on the phone and make appointments to meet people that I'd like to spend time with, but the phone might be terrifying to me. Or I dreamt of being a scientist and I need to say the words that I need to say because I need to be precise, or an attorney or a businessman. And I used to change numbers, but that's not going to work. So this next stage of life presents another crisis of saying I can't necessarily go on and cope the way I used to cope with this issue in my life. I need to give up those safety places and I need to plunge into the unknown and try some different approaches. I need to know that there are times where it might be best for me to use some of the speech control techniques that I've learned about over the years. And I also need to know that there might be times where it's best for me to surrender to the stuttering and just be honest and open and at home with myself and with people that I'm close with in my life. I need to know that I have the right to do that. And these are things that can begin to unfold in that next stage of maturation as a young adult. I'm saying, yes, this is a part of me. I need to integrate this as a whole, that there isn't like the good of me and the bad of me. There's one me and these are all parts, and to begin bringing that together. And again, there can be new sparks here of inspiration, which can then be followed by new hard work. And that inspiration and hard work can, you come at it in your 20s or 30s in a way that you couldn't have when you were 10 or 12 or even 15. And that sometimes what happens with maturation, often in fact, is that the results of efforts made go so far beyond any linear outcome of those efforts. So they often appear to be sort of gifts. Like you start working on something and click, all of a sudden you go like, I'm a different person. Even what started me on this process and what I thought I was going for and everything else, I'm no longer there. I don't think that way. You know, that's unusual for me now to even have those thoughts. It's like I've had a gift in return for the hard work. Okay, so I want to turn to the reference point of the speech pathologist as it relates to some of these comments about maturation and change. And I guess I want to begin by emphasizing the speech pathologist is sort of a midwife in the process, and they're not in charge of this process of unfolding. That journey of unfolding, of maturation, has its own inner story. And the therapist's job is to try to join in and become a partner to that process, and to follow along with it, but not to try to be in charge. That's why I call it sort of a midwife model, to assist, to support, to guide, to cheer, and to dialogue. And through the dialogue, to help the individual search for new understandings and new awareness, maybe even new acceptance of who they are and of this challenge of stuttering. And the dialogue can lead to awareness of what they do and what they feel, and that in turn can lead to brand new opportunities for making choices. And making choices makes individuals feel free to, and that's something tremendously important at each stage in development. But in moving into adulthood, it's a very important transformation in coping with stuttering, to be able to redefine themselves and their stuttering condition. The whole journey of how stuttering changes as people go from being young children who acquire stuttering to people who find ways to live well with it or to cope with it or to overcome it or to transcend it, there's an infinite amount of permutations of different factors which collide, which bring about that change. A few examples over here of life collisions. There was a young man that I knew as a 10 and 11-year-old, and he had no interest in doing any work on his speech, and he just basically would say, I don't care. And then, so we stopped the work. And by the way, I think the speech pathologist should be very open to taking breaks and not seeing therapy as a mandatory kind of ongoing thing. I refer to that as incarcerating people in speech therapy. But when he was 12 years old, he asked his parents if he could come back in. And I said to him, why are you here? And he said, well, I want to talk to girls. And, you know, I didn't care about this before, but now I need to kill this. That was his expression, and I love this quote, and I have it on film. He said, because, you know, it's not cool. You know, I want to be cool. And that led him into a chapter of some serious work, and he really acquired a lot of skill that he really wanted. And I've seen that kind of story many times. So we need to be sensitive to these changes in maturation, which bring about new opportunities to revisit different things, and not to think if something can't be done or won't be done at one stage, that it can't be done or willed at another stage. And maybe that's where I should move toward what I want to wrap up in talking to professionals, and I guess to parents, and maybe to people themselves growing up with this trait.
So, Phil, on this topic of maturation and change, how would you discuss it with parents and other professionals?
Well, it really goes to the issue of optimism, which is a philosophical belief that no matter how bad things may look at any one moment in time, there's an infinite potential for good things to unfold into the future. And since we're really human becomings, and we may go from caterpillars to butterflies in ways that go so far beyond our own imagination, we need to be sensitive to that possibility. That needs to drive us and invigorate us and give us patience. And the outcomes of people's lives who grow up with stuttering are not determined by the nature of the stuttering or even simply the nature of any therapy orientation. It's larger than that. People go through changes, and those changes include crises and suffering. They include shifts toward contentment and self-acceptance and a sense of purpose. And really the message of thinking about how we change, and that change continues, is to never, never give up on anybody and never think the story is over and never label someone, you know, as being unhelpable or someone who can't grow, because that's just not true. Everybody grows. I guess I'll just throw one little cute story in there about that. The person of the highest number of years, and in some ways I was going to say the oldest person who ever came in for a consultation to see me, but really he was very young, even though he was 83 years old at that time. And I said to him, you know, when's the last time you went to a speech therapist? He said about 45 years ago.
Wow.
I said, why'd you come now? He said, well, it occurred to him that something must have changed in that time, and maybe it paid to kind of get an update. And this was a man who was still growing, and so he was quite young. And he said, the other thing he says, you know, now, you know, I'm not doing a lot of things that I used to be busy with, so I have some time on my hands, and I thought this would be a wonderful time in my life to really master my communication skills. And within 3 or 4 weeks, this man had completely changed how he spoke and communicated. And it's a cute phrase about it, that you cannot grow old. You can only stop growing, and then you're old. Because growing is what we're about. It is our life. Stuttering doesn't determine, we have to remember, the kind of person that someone becomes. It doesn't determine how effective you are as a communicator, and it doesn't determine how happy you are with your life or how meaningful your life is to other people. And so I think it's important as parents and as professionals for us to remember that we're not raising children. We're preparing children for healthy adult lives. And so we need to do more than just teach skills and information. We need to help plant values about what it is to be a good human being, about what it is to be a great communicator, and why is that important to us. And that those kinds of plantings, and even the skills we offer, they're not about getting immediate results. They're about putting ingredients into a dynamically growing, unfolding human being. All come together 10, 20, 30, 40 years down the road. So that's really the message that I'm trying to share in today's 101.
Do you have time for a few questions, Phil?
Absolutely.
I want to let our listeners know that Dr. Schneider managed to speak about effective communication and maturation, change and growth without mentioning the word fluency one time. And, you know, I'm sort of joking about it, but I have to say that's lovely, because in this field we hear fluency, 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 and it's such a breath of fresh air to hear something different. So thank you for that, Phil. You mentioned something that's really important. You mentioned that change is marked by crisis. And you also mentioned that part of change and part of growth is surrendering security or surrendering comfort. How do those two things work together? How can one be marked in crisis and also surrender their comfortableness with the problem?
Well, one of the things that happens in all of our lives is we develop patterns of thinking and of feeling and of behaving and dealing with aspects of who we are. And we find a way to get it so it starts to work for us. And then something happens and changes in our lives. And the mechanisms we use to cope as a teenager or as a 20-year-old are no longer able to meet our needs at 30 or whatever other age. And that's a crisis because we don't know any other way. And so we first begin to feel like there is no other way. And that's when we go to either friends or to teachers or mentors or higher therapists to explore what is the issue that we've been challenged with and what is it about the way we're coping with it that's no longer productive for us, that's preventing us from growing, and to explore other ways. And that's very scary. So, for example, if someone has been trying to deal with the fact that they stutter by hiding it, by not communicating, or by changing words around, that may work extremely well for them. They may become very confident. And a story that's going on in my work life right now is a woman who by the age, she's now in her early 30s. By 30, she had it really completely hidden from the world. Even her husband doesn't know how much this is an issue for her until they've now named their firstborn child. And she is finding she cannot, everyone's asking, what's your child's name? And she can't say it. And all of her ways of coping by changing things around has now come to a major crisis. She's afraid to talk to people about her child. She's afraid to even discuss this issue with her husband. It's a crisis in her life as a woman, as a mother, and as a wife. And she's going to need a whole new way of looking at how she has grown up and integrated into her life the fact that she is a woman who has a biologic trait called stuttering, and she's going to have to take some new and scary moves with it in order to really become, to grow into this next chapter in her life. I may have lost track of the question. I don't know if I'm addressing it.
Well, you know, I think you've addressed the crisis really well, but the thing is, how does a woman like this surrender her security or her comfort zone to deal with this crisis?
Wonderful. So first of all, this is a very, for her and for a professional who becomes her partner, this is a pretty challenging kind of situation because the anxiety is of being revealed as out of control of one's body, which is one of the really horrific experiences of stuttering. She's dealt with that anxiety by being able to cover it up. For her to become a fuller person right now and more at ease in her life, she has to give up that disguise. It would be like going out without her makeup. And it means she has to be prepared to not look perfect, but to be real. She has to take risks. She has to be out there as a person who stutters.
Phil, do you think it's easier for an adult to start effectively managing their stuttering as opposed to someone younger or as opposed to someone who has a lower level of maturity?
I think that every stage in life has its challenges. And each person at each stage is entitled to the best loving support and guidance that's available, that's possible for them. The preschooler who's excited to tell their mother something and can't get the words out and is pulling on their face, they're trying in a sense to establish themselves, to use the word you used, to say, I'm here and I have an experience and I want to share it with the world. And it's just my mouth is stuck. And so they're entitled to some kind of support to help them through that. And in some ways, they're very open to that support if it's framed in a way that's appropriate for their developmental stage. The adolescent that's dealing with realizing so clearly and so frighteningly that, you know, there's something about their body when they try to communicate that may make it hard for them to compete in the world socially and maybe even to follow through on some dreams they're starting to have about wanting to do this or wanting to do that. That's pretty scary. And adolescents at a very impressionable age, and so in a way they're ideally suited to good professional input that talks that can help them meet a lot or learn about all kinds of role models of people who struggled as teenagers and became leaders in every aspect of culture and society, from, you know, athletics to public service to science and the arts. So I think at each stage there are opportunities and abilities that are unique to that stage that can help people cope optimally, and those change. So no, I don't think there's like one perfect age. I've seen people do all kinds of wonderful changes at every different developmental stage.
You've been listening to Stuttering 101 with Eric Jackson, Peter Reitzis, and our special guest, Dr. Phil Schneider. Phil, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Anytime. Thank you for doing what you do.